The epistle for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Brethren, I pray you not to faint at my tribulations for you, which are your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit and with might unto the inward man, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know also the charity of Christ which surpasseth all knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do all things more abundantly than we desire or understand, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations, world without end. Amen. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, when Jesus went into the house of one of the chiefs of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day to eat bread, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him that had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? But they held their peace. But he, taking him, healed him and sent him away. And answering them, he said, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not immediately draw him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him to these things. And he spoke a parable also to them that were invited, marking how they chose the first seats at the table, saying to them, When thou art invited to a wedding, sit not down in the first place, lest perhaps one more honorable than thou be invited by him, and he that invited thee in him come and say to thee, Give this man place. And then thou begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art invited, go sit down in the lowest place, that when he who invited thee cometh, he may say to thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have glory before them that sit at table with thee, because everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. My dear faithful, the parable at the end of today's Gospel is very instructive and interesting to us. The wedding feast. Jesus was invited to eat, and he noticed how when the guests were arriving, they would go and sit in the best spot. Kind of reminds us of the grocery store parking lot, you know. Go and park as close to the front doors as possible, right? But he said that we should take the lowest place. And at the end he says, He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we come to the meat of today's lesson, which is that pride is not pleasing to God. Pride is a source of all of our sins. You look back and see the first sin ever committed was committed by Lucifer, one of the best angels that God made, and yet he became proud and refused his worship and obedience to God. And it was because of pride that Satan fell, or Lucifer. And every sin that's committed by any human being is committed out of pride. There's no such thing as a humble person committing a sin. No such thing. And that's why it is necessary for salvation that we are humble. And in order to be humble, we must remember all the facts. Not just some of the facts, but all the facts, especially those facts which put us in the place where we really belong. We are created by God, we're creatures. We owe Him our very existence, and we owe Him our obedience. So before God, we are servants, like slaves to their master. We owe Him obedience no matter what He commands, and no matter when it is, and no matter how we feel. We owe Him our obedience. He gave us rules to follow. The two great commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and soul, strength and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Gave us the Ten Commandments as well. Those are the obedience that we owe Him, and the worship and honor we owe Him as well, when He commanded us to do the Mass in commemoration of Him. So we offer the worship of the Holy Mass to God out of obedience. Then we have also to honor God in our hearts, not just externally by being like a robot and just doing what we're supposed to mechanically, but by really doing it because God is good and He deserves it, and we understand that. We understand God deserves it, and so we do it for that reason. And then we have a supernatural motivation. We're not just thinking of nature, we're thinking of the Creator, and our motive is supernatural. And then we can be rewarded for it, too. All the obedience in the world without the right motivation is not worthy of reward. So the motivation is that we do it because God deserves it, and because He's the boss, and because He's good. Then we have to be humble also before one another. Any kind of rebellion against those that have been put in charge over us, one way or the other, is the same as rebellion against God. The Lord God has put them in charge over us, and He expects them to lead and to guide and to rule over us, whether it be our parents, our teachers, the policeman, whoever's in charge one way or the other, the priest is in charge in the church. All of them represent God, and so to rebel against them is rebellion against God and disobedience, and it comes from pride, because when we rebel against our superiors, and children even who disobey their parents are rebelling against their superiors, then we are putting ourselves above them. We are making ourselves more important than the ones whom God has made more important, Himself. We put things out of order. So we must not break the fourth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, which includes not just our parents, but also anyone who's been put in charge over us. And what makes it difficult is when they're bad rulers. But if we have a bad ruler, we may not rebel anyway. Why? Because it does not justify us doing something wrong. And so we still must not rebel or disobey those who are in charge, even if there's something wrong with them. So humility before God, and then before our fellow man. Those two kinds of humility. And then humility in our own selves. That's an important thing. Even aside from relations with God and our neighbor, we have to have a humility of our own. for our own heart, remembering that we are a bunch of big sinners, and that given the chance, we'll commit sins, and that we're likely to rebel, to disobey you, and that we need God's help just to be good. And that all the good things we ever did could not have been done without God's help. And that by ourselves, we're a bunch of losers, as Father Pfeiffer likes to say. But with God, we're apt to become big winners. We win all those things which God wants to give us. He wants to make us his own adopted sons and daughters. He wants to give us inheritance as princes and rulers in his kingdom of heaven. He wants to exalt us with the glory of the saints. And he cannot do that unless we first humble ourselves with the humility of a creature, and that a sinful creature. When we're born, we already need something from God. Baptism. We're already full of the original sin. It's passed down to us from Adam, and we already need God. Right from the beginning. Not only to exist, but also to escape from the sentence of original sin. The stain and the original sin on our souls. And then throughout our life, we need him again and again. We're totally and utterly dependent upon God. And this is the foundation of genuine humility of heart. When we don't make ourselves to be something great, we don't exalt ourselves over our neighbors, over our superiors, or even over God, but we stay right where we belong. You've heard it said, when somebody really lays into another person, that they put him in his place, right? Hopefully it's really in his place and not somewhere below his place, you know. But we want to put ourselves in our place, remembering the order that God has set in the universe and among human creatures, and respecting that order. Being obedient and humble. And one of the key ingredients to humility is to fear the Lord. Remember that he is good to those who are obedient and humble, but to those who are not, he punishes them. The saying goes, God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And for the proud, there will be punishments. Even if they do not come in this world, many proud people pass through their entire life and they are not punished. And that's a terrible way. Why? Because the punishments have the reason of correction so that they can merit heaven. If they don't receive punishments, it's a sign that they're going to hell. We can't tell for sure who's going to hell, but we can see signs which indicate probabilities to us. Therefore, it is Christ who will exalt the humble and who will humble those who exalted themselves. And he will do that principally at the last judgment. Remember the words of the judge given us in the Holy Gospels, that Jesus, the judge, will say to the damned at the last judgment, he will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels." That is the humbling that no one of us wants to receive. In the Mass for the Dead, we remind ourselves of this sentence that the judge will pass on those who are damned. It's in the gradual of the Requiem Mass. Those who are just, who are humble, they will not fear the evil sentence of the judge. So then, of course, it is Jesus who will exalt those who have humbled themselves. We humble ourselves in this world, then after our death and at the last judgment, Jesus will exalt us. Remember the words that Jesus says to those who are going to heaven, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom that was prepared for you by the Father from all eternity." And he will go on describing how they earned it by their good works during the life. That's the hearing we want to hear. That's what we want Jesus to say when we come to our judgment. We want to hear him say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, and receive the kingdom, which was prepared for you." And boy, will he exalt those who are going to heaven. They will be exalted so high. We cannot imagine the glory that God wants to give to those who humble themselves before him and their neighbors in this world. And therefore, we have a fear of God, the fear of the Lord, which is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, and the most important one, which is the beginning of wisdom, and it leads us to humility, so that we will admit the whole truth, knowing where our place really is, exercising the duties and prerogatives of our place in God's creation. And no, humility does not mean we are putting ourselves under everybody, because those who are in charge must exercise their authority, and they must do it as a duty before God and as a part of humility. If the policeman sees a drunk driver and just lets him go, he's not being humble. Humility requires him to do what is his duty. If the parishioners in a parish are gossiping, the priest finds out they're all gossiping about something, and he does not correct them, knows he should but doesn't do it, he is not being humble. He's being stupid. If a parents let their children get away with murder, that is not humility. They must be corrected as soon as they need correction, every time. So there is a place for everyone, and as soon as we are given some duties, some charges, something to be responsible for, we must, as a part of our humility, take charge and do a good job of that. We must put ourselves in our true place. Humility does not mean you're just like a doormat and everybody walks on you and treats you terrible and you say, "Oh, that's okay." And on the other hand, when your superiors treat you like a doormat, then that's okay. I mean, when it's done the right way. So there's a good lesson for us from the good Lord Jesus Christ and from the Holy Church, that we need to be humble. So, two things. We have to humble ourselves, put ourselves in our place when we see that we're rising out of it and we're getting above our reason, as it were. And then we should be willing to accept humiliations from others, whether they be superiors or not, because every humiliation is a putting in one's place. We don't need humiliations when we're already in our place. Right? But when we receive a humiliation, that means we're being told and put in our place. And we should like to be in our place, even if being put there is not comfortable. We should say, okay, well, I am in my place now, and that's the only place that I'll really be happy being there. If I get out of my place, I'm out of order somehow, and something's not right. So today let us ask for this virtue of humility from the Holy Ghost, who is more than willing to grant it to us. When we pray for humility, be ready, because you know that God wants you humble, and if you ask for it, He'll certainly do it for you, right? So prepare yourself for humiliations. And also to make a real effort to keep yourself in your own place, each one of us. And if we do this, then we find our way to God's grace. He gives grace to the humble, and we find our way to heaven, the kingdom of God, in which God will exalt us above all creatures, because He gives us a part of His divinity. He makes us His own children. And we are, in a way, princes in the kingdom of heaven. So that's what we're looking for. And to do that, we stay in our place down below and do what we ought to be doing and regulate ourselves accordingly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.